We will call House Transportation to order. Welcome to anyone listening online, as well as those of you in the room. We remind everyone to silence your cell phones so we don't interrupt the proceedings this morning. We will begin with roll call, please.
Representatives Chase.
Here.
Duvall, excused. Fink.
Here.
Goodwin, excused. Johnson, excused. Livermont.
Here.
Okay. Steele.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Zickman, excused. Bordeaux.
Here.
Lesmeister. Anderson.
Here.
Mills, excused. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Duvall just walked
seven,
in.
8.
Paul's going to go take care of her contact attack. She'll be right back.
So we have 8 present.
Okay, we have a quorum. We will, due to a few people missing this morning early on here in committee, we're going to juggle the schedule just a little bit and begin with Senate Bill 30. So we will begin with proponent testimony on Senate Bill 30.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is John Brewers. I'm the commander for the Motor Carrier Division of the South Dakota Highway Patrol. Today we bring Senate Bill 30 to the committee. This is our annual adoption of Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration rules and regulations. The good news is this year there's no new regulations. There's some clarifications and actually a couple of repeals of regulations. The docket's pretty light as far as what the changes are. And I'll run through all of these, but it's important we pass these regulations every year to make sure interstate motor carriers are playing by the same rules and there's no confusion on what rules apply to them when they're in different states. Having a checkerboard of regulation is confusing for both enforcement and the industry. And when they travel from state to state, you want, if you're a truck driver, you want to know what to expect. What rules do I have to follow and which ones don't apply to me? And this bill keeps us on the same page as the rest of the 48 states and Alaska. And if you can get a truck to Hawaii, the same rules would apply there as well. There's 3 changes this year that became final rule within 2019. The first one I'll cover is just... it's spell check for the regulations. Anytime one regulation is changed and it's inserted into a paragraph somewhere, it kicks the next paragraph down and the next paragraph down, and we just literally have to renumber them. There's a few spelling errors that were caught or some grammatical errors like a comma, but no substantial change to the regulations. It's just to make sure all the references are correct and the numbering system and things like that are correct. It's just technical changes. The next one I'll cover is there's a regulation that we haven't been enforcing since 2017. It's from Federal Motor Carrier that we do not enforce that. It just wasn't found to be effective, and they've changed that regulation, but it's just technically still on the books, and it's just making the line out through and repealing that paragraph. And that paragraph was part of the hours of service rules, and it was saying when you're starting to reach your limits of your maximum driving time for a week, you can take 34 hours off straight, and it resets that clock for 60 and a 70-hour rule is what it's called. And it's you can't drive after having worked and driven for 70 hours in a week. Well, the regulation required that you take 2 rest periods from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and within that 34-hour restart. It just wasn't found to be effective or contributing to the safety. It was a stipulation that, in theory, was good because it kept a driver on their circadian rhythm and that they were good in getting good, restful sleep. Well, not everybody's on a straight sleep schedule, and it just didn't work for industry. Federal Motor Carrier agreed that this just wasn't effective in helping the hours or fatigue driving, so they eliminated the need for it, and now we're just getting it off the book. The last one doesn't affect a lot of people in South Dakota and actually nationwide. It only affects 8,000 people, but it's some rules on leasing for passenger carriers. So what the regulations out of the last transportation bill stipulated they had to do, it became problematic for industry and it wasn't conducive for their business. And since it had no effect on safety, FMCSA rolled some of those requirements back. For example, if the chairman has a bus company and Representative Johnson has a bus company, and Representative Anderson just has too much business, and so he needs some more buses, and so he takes Representative Johnson's company and says, hey, I've got a lot of loads. Why don't you come take these passengers from point A to point B with me? We're just going to do it for 2 weeks. Well, as they were currently written, Representative Johnson would have to put Representative Anderson's name on the side of the bus. It's contrary to what they do in the rest of the trucking industry. And again, it has no effect on safety. As long as there's a lease agreement between the two and both companies are under the FMCSA rules and have their operating authority valid, we don't have to have that marking of the bus. That's different because law enforcement can still check the lease agreement and we know who's in charge of that operation. There was another notification to passengers. So if Representative Anderson's bus broke down on their cross-country trip to Miami and he needed help to get those passengers there because he didn't have another bus close by, he could contact another carrier that is reasonably close and have them pick up the passengers and let them continue on their trip. The current regulation said that they had to give the passengers 24-hour notice before they could leave on that bus. So if you're a passenger on your way to Miami for a conference or the Rose Bowl parade, and you had to wait for 24 hours just because of a requirement in law, that's not good for business, and does no good for the passengers, and it has no effect on safety. The last one is just some lease requirements. It's just what has to be in the lease. And as long as the two companies are both registered with DOT and have valid operating authority, it gives some more freedom to how they work those leases. And when we go back to those marking requirements, as long as it's not a long-term lease, you don't have to put somebody else's sign on your bus. As long as it's short-term lease, again, that's just like we do with regular property carrying carriers, it's the same rule. So this is good for the industry and it has no effect on safety. So those regulations were repealed and we don't want to hold those South Dakota carriers or those traveling through South Dakota to that higher standard that has no benefits and it's different from other states. So that summarizes all the changes this year. Famous last words, this is a nice, easy, clean bill, but I'll be happy to stand around for any questions if you have any. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponent testimony on Senate Bill 30.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Myron Rao, President and Registered Lobbyist for the South Dakota Trucking Association. We don't like a checkerboard. If we have one regulation in one state and another state, and we have to look at the book every time we travel, so this is just the right thing to do. We support the bill and hope you do also. Thank you.
Thank you. Further proponents? Welcome.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Larry Mann, I'm a registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Petroleum and Propane Marketers Association. And so we have wholesalers with fuel transports and so forth. And we do believe that the elimination of the checkerboard across state lines and so forth is a really important part of operating an efficient transport operation. And for the same reasons as mentioned earlier, we'd urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents on Senate Bill 30? Any further proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 30? Seeing no opponents to Senate Bill 30, we will waive rebuttal and move to committee questions. Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering on this, what it used to be you had to wait 24 hours. So there must have been a reason they put that in there to start with. Was it just to make sure nobody got left, or why was it 24 to start with? I can see where it's logical to have it the way you changed it to, but I'm just curious, why the 24?
Mr. Chairman. So it's all The reasoning behind that is rooted in, I'll call it a bait and switch. If a tour company contracts with a bus provider that they know has a good record, they have nice buses, they're clean, and they're safe operation, it saves that risk for that tour company from the bus provider contracting with a inferior bus company without them knowing about it. Because if I'm a tour operator and I take folks from, say, Arizona, it's common national park tour. They come up through Utah, go hit Wyoming, Yellowstone, come through the Black Hills here to hit Custer State Park and Mount Rushmore. I don't want my passengers on an inferior bus company. They expect a certain level of safety and comfort within that bus. And if I contract with somebody that's, you know, running basically a wagon on wheels, that's not good for my business. And it's for the passenger carrier came under a lot of scrutiny because of some crashes. And so the FMCSA even developed a phone app so you can look at the bus before you get on it, put the DOT number in there, and it'll say, hey, this company's got a great record, or this company's kind of has some safety problems in the past. So it was kind of a consumer protection start of the regulations there.
Okay. Thank you. No further questions.
Any further questions on Senate Bill 30? Seeing none, we will close that portion of the process and move to committee discussion and or action.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Johnson.
Move do pass.
Second.
We have a do pass motion by Representative Johnson, seconded by Representative Leesmeister on Senate Bill 30. Comments on the motion?
Yes, first, let the record reflect that I'll never own a bus unless it's an Airbus. And secondly, you talked about the name changes with Representative Johnson's bus service and Representative Anderson's bus service. Couldn't we call it Dave's bus service? That would eliminate the problem there, I think. So anyway, I think obviously this is a good bill. I would move to pass. Vote green.
Okay. Any further comments?
Second.
We have a second already.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, with that, we will move to voting. All those in favor of do pass motion on Senate Bill 30, signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary, please call the roll.
Representatives Chase.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Goodwin. Excuse. Johnson.
Aye.
Livermont.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Bordeaux.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
And Mills.
Aye.
12-4 and 1 excused.
Senate Bill 30 is passed. I would suggest we move it to consent unless there is any objection. Okay. Let's put it on consent then. I got to do 1082, oops, 1082, so.
I want to thank Representative Anderson for filling in. I was in another committee that ran late, and the vote was important and felt like I needed to stay there. So thank you for covering for me to get the committee off and rolling. I understand that a couple things got missed on the front end of the meeting, and maybe we'll fill those in here before we go to the next bill. First is the approval of the minutes. Chair would look for a motion with regarding to the minutes. Got a motion from Representative Zickman and a second from Representative Fink. All those in any discussion, seeing none, those in favor of approval of the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, minutes are approved. And then we have a couple of good-looking young people in blue shirts in the front that need to come up to the desk and introduce themselves. And we hope you're enjoying your time here. And tell us your name and where you're from and your future plans. And what extracurricular activities you have enjoyed in high school.
Hi, I'm Savannah Burton, and I'm a junior at Sturgis Brown High School, and I live in Piedmont. I'm not quite sure exactly what I want to do yet, but I think I'm probably going to stay here for college and go to SDSU or something like that. And then, yeah. And then some extra, I like Spanish. I'm in Spanish right now, so I really like that. And then child development. So.
Oh, excellent. There'll be a lot of opportunities for all those things at SDSU, right? Representative Anderson in the blue and gold tie.
Hello, my name is Benjamin R. Connor. I am from Winford, South Dakota, and go to Howard High School. My plans after high school is to go to SDSU for political science. And after some of the extracurriculars I participate in include student council, cross country, band, if you count that, I guess. And then, just, yeah, that's it.
Very good. Thank you very much. Representative Fink.
For the record, band always counts.
Absolutely. The chair concurs. All right. Well, thank you for that. And I understand we did not cover House Bill 1082, and so we'll circle back and we'll take up House Bill 1082. The chair is ready for, I should read House Bill 1082, revised provisions regarding the compensation of merchandise dealers for diagnostic and warranty work.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was reading the wrong one. I had in my mind 1091 and apologize there. That's why it's important to read it and make sure we're all on the same page, because obviously I was not. So 1082, revise the conditions under which a licensed vehicle dealer may display or sell certain vehicles. My apologies, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. David Anderson, representative from District 16, and I have an amendment. It is 1082A, and it should be out there online as near as I can tell.
We'll give us a minute to make sure we can find that. Yes, I see it here. Does everybody have that amendment?
And I would just ask if that could be moved so we can deal with the bill in its correct form.
Okay. Got a motion from Representative Fink and a second from Representative Chase on that amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, those in favor of amendment 1082A will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The amendment is approved.
Thank Proceed. You, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. As you could see, the amendment clearly added just seven words, has notified the department of the display. It was a request from Department of Motor Vehicles that we add that in this situation. And beyond that, I'm going to step down and have Mr. Rao provide you the rest of the explanation for the bill. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you. We're open for further proponent testimony.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Myron Rao, president and registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Automobile Dealers Association. We have a law in South Dakota that was passed way before my tenure with this organization, and that is that you can only display vehicles in the county in which you are domiciled, where the business is located. You can only display in that county, and there are a lot of reasons for that. The best reason that I can find is that we encourage to buy local, like all of the small towns in this state do. You buy local, the businesses survive. In addition, there are things that come up if you don't have the person come to your business. There are things like right of rescission come into play and other reasons. Now, when dealers question this, and I get a call every once in a while from a dealer who says, why am I licensed in South Dakota? Why can't I display, for instance, a dealer in Lenox displaying in Sioux Falls? And here's what I tell them. In this state, we have a single Mercedes dealer. We have a single Volvo dealer, BMW, and Audi. Now, most of those are in Sioux Falls. They're all in Sioux Falls. Do you want those dealers to be selling at the Rushmore Mall in Rapid City? And the answer is quickly, no, I don't. So that's the reason we hang on to that law. However, what we're asking for in House Bill 1082 is just a small crack in that law. Vehicles that are 20 years old or older, we call them classic cars. Maybe that might not be the year. They might be 18. They might be newer because they only built X number of Mustangs, for instance. We just chose the year of 20 years because that's what current law says when you talk about display for consignments. So we're just saying we would like to be able to take to a mall, to the Hot Deadwood Nights, a place where we can take those older vehicles, and most of the dealers in this state have a storage shed of some type with a bunch of vehicles in it that they every once in a while we got want to move one of them. This gives them a chance to take it to one of those places and display them. We wholeheartedly agree with the DMV. In fact, the other the original language we talked about, the display of 15 days also came from the department in addition to the notification. They've agreed that that notification can be phone call, email, whatever it may be, in writing, but they have to notify that they're going to be doing the display, and it cannot last more than 15 days. So again, I've talked to the Used Car Dealers Association. They again have no problem with this. So again, on behalf of the 180 members of the South Dakota Auto Dealers Association, I respectfully request that you pass 1082. Thank you. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Further proponents on House Bill 1082? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents on House Bill 1082? Seeing none, no need for rebuttal. We will move to committee questions. Representative Lesmeister.
For Mr. Rao. Thank you. Just for clarification, when you say display, are you saying you want to basically set up, advertise this for sale? Are you just displaying these vehicles for somebody to walk by and look at?
Mr. Chair, it bill says it's with display or sell. Okay. And I can tell you where the nexus of this is. We had a dealer in South Dakota take a vehicle because his daughter lives in another city, wanted to display the vehicle in the mall, so he calls the mall, says, I've got this car, and I think that in this area of the state this would sell, and he displays, and DMV comes down on him hard. So that's really the example, but I'm thinking about things like the Hot Deadwood Nights, maybe the State Fair, maybe the Brown County Fair, that you've got something that you think, and you're from whatever part of the state, but you think that vehicle would really be something that might sell in that area. This would give them the opportunity to take it there and try.
Okay, thank you.
Further committee questions? Thank you, Mr. Rao. Seeing none. Oh, wait, there is one. Representative Fink.
Sorry, I'm multitasking over here. The 15 days, is there any, what's the preference behind 50? Is that just the standard, or where did the number 15 come from, just out of curiosity?
Mr. Chairman, a dart. A dart. The DMV called and said, is this for a month, for 2 months, for 3 months? And I just picked a number, and they agreed with me. So it's 2 weeks, you know, over a weekend, two weekends. That's why I did 15. It could be 10. Wouldn't make any difference to us.
No. Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony, and we will move to committee discussion and or action. Representative Chase.
Mr. Chair, I would move to pass on House Bill 1082.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative Chase, a second from Representative Goodwin. Discussion on the motion. Representative Chase.
Well, I think it's a good bill that's brought forth, and both the sponsor and the individual that talked about the bill does make sense. I'm reminded of the State Fair, and when that event is going on, it's amazing how many vehicles are parked along the road for sale or brought in by dealers to catch attention for a bigger population. So this just makes sense for everybody.
Any further committee discussion? Seeing none, we have a motion on the table. We have a motion. We have a motion to do pass on House Bill 1082 as amended with 1082A. Seeing no further comments, we will ask the secretary to call the roll.
Representatives Chase,
aye.
Duvall,
aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Livermont.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Sickman.
Aye.
Bordeaux.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
Mills.
Aye.
Unanimous.
With unanimous vote, House Bill 1082, as amended, is passed. Any issue with consent on this one? I think the chair will recommend consent then. Thank you very much, and we will move on now. And I think I want to, it always takes me a minute to get in the technology to catch up with. House Bill 1091. And we will look, which now I can read, House Bill 1091, an act to revise provisions regarding the compensation of merchandise dealers for diagnostic and warranty work. And we are open for proponent testimony.
Morning, Mr. Chair, members of the Transportation Committee. I bring before you today House Bill 1091, an act to revise provision. Excuse me, my name is Representative Tim Goodwin. I always forget that part. I figure everybody knows me. Representative Tim Goodwin, District 30. An act to revise the provisions regarding the compensation of merchandise dealers for diagnostic and warranty work. I'm going to bring up the same guy that Representative Mr. Rao. He's a proponent on this. I could read you a long thing here, but I think if you just listen to him, it's a real common sense bill. It's something that we need to do, and we need to make it equitable so that people can get paid for the warranty work. So after that, I'll be by. If you have any questions, we can go over it there.
Very well. Thank you. Further proponents on House Bill 1091.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, again, Myron Rao, President, Registered Lobbyist, and if you don't mind, I would like to talk on behalf of both of my employers at the same time. I work for the Automobile Dealers Association and also the South Dakota Trucking Association, and this is near and dear to both groups. What this really is, and I got a stack of papers here, which I can refer to if you have a question, but you really have to look at 37.5.12.2 to understand what this bill really does. Because in that statute, it describes what merchandise is affected by this section of law. So we're only addressing 8 and 9, and those are a temperature control unit and an auxiliary idle reduction, which is an idle reduction piece of equipment on mostly semi-trailer or tractors and motorhomes. So you can shut the big engine down and you can still be cool or warm, whatever you need. That's what it's for. And the other thing is, we call them a reefer, and that's not something you smoke. It's a refrigeration unit that's on the front of a truck or a trailer, like the little ice trucks that deliver ice. They have those on them. And then semi-trailers that they haul meat and produce and that type of thing, and they have to have the temperature controlled. Those two devices, for some reason, I've been in this statute many times in my 19-plus years with these employers, and we missed this. And so it's I'm taking the blame, whether I'm supposed to take it or not. I'm willing to do that. An auxiliary power unit, or APU, costs about $30,000. A reefer costs about $30,000. And an auxiliary power unit is around $12,000 to $15,000. Those pieces of equipment are highly technical, and it takes a lot of diagnostic work when something goes bad. And so this is really a fairness issue. And the example I'm going to use, and I'm not going to talk about an APU, I'm going to talk about a pickup truck or a car. They already enjoy these by other statutes, not by this statute. So if we have two people, and I'm going to use Representative Anderson and Johnson, like, because they were used before, you buy a vehicle, a similar vehicle, or even the same vehicle, let's say a Chevy Impala. And both of you, one of you drives more miles than the other. Representative Johnson drives more miles than Representative Anderson. But they happen to arrive at the dealership that on a particular day with the same problem with the transmission. Now, because Representative Johnson drives more miles, he's off warranty. And the other vehicle's under warranty. So under off warranty, you're going to pay whatever the door rate is that's posted at the dealership, $100 an hour, $75, whatever that number is. That's what he's going to pay, and he's also going to pay retail for the parts. Now, Representative Anderson, and that's not what car manufacturers said. Now you got to deviate. This is what's happening in this bill is the warranty in this case, they're getting about 70% reimbursement for the labor compared to their door rate, and they're also getting a reduction on parts. The manufacturer is not paying them what every other customer has to pay, which is totally, totally unfair, and I've argued that before with this body for car dealers. It's similar with this. So now one person has to pay more, one pays less, and the unfairness of that is several fold. First of all, they are the ones that contracted with XYZ company or Chinese company or whatever it is to make that integral part of that piece of equipment, that APU or that reefer. It was their fault that failed. It's not our fault. So why should we not be compensated at the same rate for non-warranty work or warranty work as we are non-warranty work? And we're not. And that's really, it's a fairness issue. And on the other side, when you look at South Dakota, if they're paying us 70% of the rate, that money doesn't stay in South Dakota. Everything else does. So when a manufacturer from another state has to pay that rate to the dealer in Sioux Falls, guess what? That money stays here and it turns over and turns over and turns over. If not, the owner of the business for the 1,000 hours, one of these businesses told me that he did 1,000 hours worth of labor or warranty work last year. If he's compensated at 70% of the rate, that's a lot of money that should be coming to South Dakota and being in the pocket of that technician. So really, it's, like I say, it's a fairness issue, and I might have gone too far, but we're really only putting those two pieces in line with everything else and giving them that reimbursement at the rate that they should be reimbursed and get paid for by everybody that is off warranty. That's all I've got. Appreciate your support. Like I say, the Trucking Association, which is about 500 members, and then the auto dealers, about 180. We would encourage you to pass this bill. And I'll stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rao. Further proponent testimony on House Bill 1091. Proponent testimony on 1091. Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony on 1091? Any opponents? Seeing no opponent testimony, we'll move to committee questions. Representative Fink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Rao, if you would. I've got two questions, Mr. Chair. The first question, and forgive me for being just completely blunt. So why are we trying to put this in law rather than those dealers or those companies saying, well, if you're not going to reimburse me, sorry, I'm going to go get stuff from a different company that will reimburse me for it?
Mr. Chair, they're already the franchisee for that equipment. So it's a franchise relationship. So, and in this case, it's the two companies in South Dakota that do this are Carrier Transicold and Thermo King. And if you bought a new tractor from Daimler, a Freightliner, they still sell that piece of equipment, even if Daimler might put it on for them. But they are the only two distributors in South Dakota. So they have a relationship, and they can't go anywhere else. They're only those two manufacturers that do it and two businesses that do the installation.
Okay.
That answers your question.
That answers my question exactly. And the second question then would be, so if I'm looking at 37.5.12.2, we're looking at adding subsections 8 and 9, with the bill already talks about subsection 5. And so my other question would be, subsection 2 of that talks about farm tractors, farm implements, farm machinery, and attachments. Why would we not add that to this as well?
Mr. Chair, that's precisely why I pointed that out, because but if you look at the entire code, they're already covered.
They're covered in a different spot.
Yes, it's our card. Now, again, the reason I took the blame, if I may go on a little bit, Mr. Chair, is because I'm the one that added 5 when we had ATVs and side-by-sides that weren't covered anywhere else in statute. That's why we added that, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. And then that's when I missed this piece, because we're the ones that added 8 and 9 into the statute that defines what they are. So, again, my fingerprints are all over this. And I'm just trying to fix something that we missed in the past.
Further questions, Representative Steele.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, for Mr. Rue, you said there's somebody is going to end up paying, if this is the case, an extra 30% more than they had before. Do you see that person having a pushback or any repercussions from the party that has to now pay 30% more?
Mr. Chair, that's the manufacturer.
Yeah.
So they're not in the room. This was passed in North Dakota last year, and that's why it drained down to me. So my answer would be no.
Okay. They're locked in.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Lesmeister.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess that brings my question. Is this manufacturer in the state of South Dakota or out?
Mr. Chair, out.
Follow-up, please. Can we enforce this law on them, being that they're an out-of-state company?
Mr. Chair, no. And I'm just going to go on for, if you don't mind.
Please.
We've argued with Ford and General Motors and Chrysler, and this is an issue in the auto business, too. Even though you put it in the law, doesn't mean they're going to pay it. The only manufacturer that I know that pays it 100% of the time is Harley-Davidson. So it's something we fight. But now when they submit the bill, and that's why when North Dakota did it, these dealers contacted me. Because when you've got two states or three, and there might be 20 that have done this, every time we send in a repair order for reimbursement, we bill it out. We're going to bill it out at their door rate. They may not pay it, but there's always a civil action that can follow someday. So that's, but we fight that every day.
Thank you. And that. Thank you for that explanation, because that's what I was going to ask that next, is just give them some teeth to go after.
That's correct.
Thank you.
That's correct.
Further questions? Representative Steele.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I didn't hear the company you said that did pay 100%.
Harley-Davidson.
Harley-Davidson.
That's the only one that I know of.
Interesting.
And I know Ford's getting close, and there might be others, but okay. I know that Harley-Davidson does.
Chair has a question, too. You mentioned North Dakota, and that's kind of what spurred this. Do you know other – you mentioned about 20 states. Is that – do you have knowledge about our other borders or
that,
other
– Mr. Chair, that I can't answer that. I made that up, that 20 – I just know that North Dakota passed it last year, and that's what made it – again, dealers go to meetings where they share information, and that's where it got to my guy and said, hey, we should do this too. And then I thought it was already in there because I had done this. I touched this section before, and like I say, we just missed it.
Very well. Thank you. Any further questions from the committee? Seeing none, we'll close the public testimony on House Bill 1091, and we'll open it up to committee discussion and or action. Representative Fink.
I move do pass on House Bill 1091.
We have a motion from Representative Fink, and we had the second, I think, from Representative Lesmeister on that. Representative Fink.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Seems very straightforward. Thank you for point-blank answering my questions. I appreciate that. Those were the questions I had coming into this. I'm like, why would we do this? And the question that the good representative asked from over on the other side as well, I thought the same thing, and you answered them all. So let's send this to the floor with a due pass.
Further comments, Representative Lesmeister?
I think this is just a fairness statement, as Mr. Rao stated. I hope this gives them some ability to renegotiate some of these contracts for these reimbursements. So, yeah, I think it's a good bill. Let's give them something to fight with. So, thank you.
Any other comments? I want to thank Mr. Rao for his honesty in confessing that the 20 was just a number grabbed out of thin air. I always appreciate that. Seeing no further discussion from the committee, the chair will say we have a motion on the floor to do pass on House Bill 1091. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Chase.
Aye.
Duvall.
Aye.
Fink.
Aye.
Goodwin.
Aye. I don't know if I can pull it, but
you can.
Okay. Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Livermont.
Aye.
Steele.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Zickman.
Aye.
Bordeaux.
Aye.
Lesmeister.
Aye.
Anderson.
Aye.
And Mills.
Aye.
Unanimous.
We have a unanimous vote on House Bill 1091, and so it is passed. We'll head to the floor. Any concern with consent on this one? We think we can explain it in our caucuses adequately, and so the chair will recommend consent on this bill as well. We had kind of an easy lift today, which was fine for me since I was late getting here. Next week we will have a talker or two, so be ready for that. And we'll look forward to that activity. Anything else to come before the committee this morning? Seeing nothing else, the chair would look for a motion.
We
have a motion to adjourn from Representative Weiss. Second, Representative Fink. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, we are adjourned.